Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Does it matter that people observe the birth of Christ on December the 25th, when virtually every historical source states that he was born in the fall of the year? Shepherds would not be in the fields tending their flocks in cold December. They would have already brought them down to the lowlands and near home. Does it matter that the Bible condemns the pagan practices that are oftentimes associated with Christmas, such as Christmas trees? Note Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. Remember that the Word of God, all Scripture, is given of inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, and teaching in all righteousness, according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Jeremiah 10 and verse 1, hear ye the word which the Eternal speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Of course, it's not just for the house of Israel, it's for all peoples at all times. God is not a respecter of persons. Thus says the Eternal, learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Don't pay any attention to astrological charts, thinking that they have something to do, that is, the movement of the heavenly bodies and the various signs in heaven have something to do with your destiny. God is the one who will be the ultimate judge of whether or not you're going to live or die. For the nations are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Don't be afraid of them, for they can do no evil, neither also it is within them to do any good. Why would it say that? Because they were worshiping these trees that they would deck out, decorate, as gods. They were pagan symbols. They were idols that represented the sun god Baal. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Eternal, you're great, and your name is great in might. We're to worship only God, the first three commandments. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know, God is a jealous God. He has the right to be, because he created us and he gives us life and breath. Why are Christmas trees associated with paganism? Pagan religions focused on fertility rites and symbols with male and female goddesses. Soon after the nation of Israel came into the Promised Land, they began to worship the pagan gods of the native tribes. The true God, the one who had delivered them from bondage in Egypt, warned them not to worship these gods. But they forsook the Lord their God, as we read in Judges 2, verses 11 through 15, and they bowed down and worshiped these idols, these things that represented the pagan gods. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal is the male sun god, and Ashtaroth the female sun god. And the anger of the Eternal was hot against them, and he delivered them into the hands of their enemies. So they would go into captivity, and then God would raise up judges and lead them out, and this cycle was repeated over and over during the days of the judges. So did it matter that Israel served other gods? Did it matter that they planted the groves and worshiped Baal? As noted in the verses above, it mattered so much that God allowed them to go into captivity again and again, and then he would deliver them after some judge would repent, some judge would be raised up to lead them, to deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. But what does this have to do with Christmas trees? The pagans used trees planted in groves to represent the male phallic symbol, the male member. You will find time after time in the scriptures that God commanded Israel to rid the land of pagan idols and symbols. Deuteronomy 12, verse 1, "These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, gives you to possess it all the days that you live. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods. Upon the high mountains, upon the hills, under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place." And he says, you're not to do as they do. You're to worship only God. However, Israel was plagued by pagan worship from their days in Egypt until God gave them a bill of divorcement and put them away for their spiritual whoredoms. So does it matter that Christians have included elements of paganism in their worship services? Even ministers today will try to justify the observance of Christmas in December by saying something like, well, even if Christ was not born in December, and even if there is no command in the scriptures to observe the birth of Jesus, which there surely is not, what harm is there in setting aside a day to observe our Savior's birth? Well, the harm is that it is not commanded of God, and God says, don't attach pagan symbols and idols to the true God and pretend that you're worshiping the true God when you have some kind of something there that represents a pagan idol. Does it matter that the birth of the Savior has been wrapped in the pagan trappings of the pagan winter solstice celebration? I would say that it matters a lot to God. You see, the pagans worship the sun, basically, and in December, the sun reaches its lowest point in the northern hemisphere and begins its journey back toward the north. So the pagans would have a great celebration at that time with the rebirth of the sun. If the words of God that clearly instructs us not to learn or practice the ways of the heathen, if those words don't matter, then it doesn't matter. But if you believe God and want to live by the words which proceeds out of the mouth of God, it matters a great deal. In fact, it is a matter of life and death, because the wages of sin is death. Now, what is sin? You don't hear much about sin today. Most people could not give you the Bible definition of sin. The Bible definition of sin is found in 1 John 3:4. You can see it for yourself. Sin is the transgression of the law. What law? God's immutable spiritual law. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the wages of sin is death, and the reason that Jesus Christ was born and came to this earth was to pay for our sin, so the death penalty could be removed from off our heads, that we can be viewed as sinless in the sight of God the Father, be reconciled to God the Father, and receive the begettal of the Holy Spirit from God. And so upon living the life of faith and dying in the faith, or being alive in the faith when Jesus Christ returns, we can be changed into glorious, radiant spirit beings in the kingdom of God. There are a lot of other does it matter questions that we really need to ask ourselves. But let's ask another one here. Does it matter which day of the week you observe as God's holy Sabbath? His immutable spiritual law, the Sabbath day, is a part of that law. So does it matter which day of the week you observe as God's holy Sabbath? Do you know the origin of God's true Sabbath? The Sabbath is first revealed in Genesis chapter 2. So the origin of the Sabbath dates back to the creation of man. In Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. Then in Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. God rested. That word rested in the Hebrew is Shabbat. It means kept Sabbath. God rested from all that he had made on the seventh day. Even God himself observed his seventh day. So we see here God himself is the one who ordained the Sabbath day. And he goes on to say, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now the word sanctified in the Hebrew word is kadosh, meaning to set apart, to consecrate, to be holy. So God blessed the seventh day and sanctified that day, and he observed the Sabbath. So for any period of time, any place or being to be holy, God's active presence must be in it. Holy things have God's active presence within them. God placed his active presence in the seventh day, the Sabbath, and made it holy. This is why the fourth commandment states, Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Note it carefully. We're commanded to keep the Sabbath day holy. That means that it has God's active presence in it, and we're commanded to keep it holy. We would not be commanded to keep anything holy that is not holy. So does it matter which day you observe as God's holy Sabbath? Satan has deceived the Christian professing world into believing that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. Remember, God condemned Israel for worshiping Baal, and Baal is the male sun god. Sunday, day of the sun, in Latin, dia solis. The Babylonians worshiped the sun as Shamash, and some of the other proper names used for it in various places and various cultures have been Baal, Moloch, Ahura Mazda, Dagon, Ra, Saul, Marduk, Mithras, Krishna, Aton, Wudin, Zeus, Deus and Gott. Roman Emperor Constantine changed the seventh day Sabbath to Sunday in the Roman Empire, making Sunday, Dia Solis, the official day of rest. He did this in circa 321 Christian era. Constantine had no divine authority to change the immutable spiritual law of God, and neither does any man or system. The Bible states that the law of God is spiritual and perfect. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, the law of the eternal is perfect. If God says it's perfect, can the perfection of God be improved upon? Converting the soul, the testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the eternal is pure, enlightening the eyes. If you want to be righteous, if you want to be pure, if you want to be enlightened, then you keep the holy commandments. That does not mean that you earn salvation, because salvation is of grace. You would not even have the opportunity to have your sins forgiven if it were not for the grace of God who sent Jesus Christ to be a sacrifice for our sins. And then through the grace of God, he gives us his spirit, the very essence of his being. But at the same time, God and Jesus Christ are not the ministers of sin, because they will only forgive your sins if you repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness. To live by faith means to obey God and do what he says. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. However, the Bible speaks of a system that will think to change times and seasons." In Daniel 7, and verse 23, we read about this beast power that is going to come on the scene and think to change times and seasons. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question, does it matter? In view of the program today, there are several booklets that we would like to offer you. One has to do with God's holy days or pagan festival days. Yes, God's holy days reveal to you the true holy days that God commands us to observe. In Leviticus 23, it says that these are the feast of the eternal. They're not just the feast of Israel. And the Sabbath day, of course, and seven annual holy days are holy unto God. He has placed his active presence in them. So you need to understand about God's feast days. The Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. You need to understand God's holy days and understand the origin of the pagan holidays. Now, some holidays are right to observe, and there's nothing wrong with them if they are not have some kind of religious attachment to paganism that causes one to set up idols or symbols that represent God in a wrong way. And then you also need our booklet on the Ten Commandments. Has the immutable spiritual law of God been done away with? You need to know, you need to understand about the law of God. All you have to do to receive the free literature is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. We have seen in the first segment of our program that God does not take kindly to anyone who will attach pagan symbols and rituals to his immutable spiritual law or to what he has commanded us to observe. We notice in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23 that there is a time coming in which a system and a person, along with a false prophet, are going to be energized by Satan the devil. And as it says in Daniel 7 verse 23, this system, this person, under the inspiration of Satan the devil, will think to change times and seasons. Thus, he says, the fourth beast, that will be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first, and shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints and the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. In other words, for 3.5 years. But this system has no authority to change times and seasons. In fact, God tells us in Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now back in Daniel 7, verses 26 and 27, and we find that God judges this evil system and gives the kingdom to the saints. But the judgment shall sit. This one will have great power and authority for 3.5 years, but he is going to be judged. "And they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Yes, that's the kingdom that you want to be a part of, the kingdom of God that is going to come to this earth. As it says in Revelation 5:10, that he's made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And those who are deceived into worshiping this system that thinks to change times and seasons will be cast in the lake of fire. Note the contrast between those who obey the commandments of God and those who receive the mark of the beast and worship this one who thinks to change times and seasons. In Revelation 14 and verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which poured out without mixture into the cup of the indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Yes, they are going to experience the second death, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. They will burn as long as they're in incombustible material, but the smoke of the torment will go up forever and ever. In fact, throughout the millennium, sinners, as you read in the last two verses of Isaiah 66, will be placed into this pit, and they have no rest nor day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. You may say the beast system is not in place yet. I don't have the mark of the beast. Technically, the final beast system has not yet come to power, but elements of his system are already in place. Satan has already deceived the world into accepting a counterfeit Sabbath. They try to justify this by falsely claiming that Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week, Sunday morning. But this is a false assumption. Christ was in the grave for 3 days and nights. He was resurrected as the Sabbath ended. He was crucified on a Wednesday, and he was placed in the grave toward the end of Wednesday, and he was there for 3 days and three nights. Thursday sunset 1 day, Friday sunset 2 days, Sabbath sunset 3 days, and he arose from the grave. Note the words of the Apostle John in John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and the saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And as we note in the next verse, the tomb was empty. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to John, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they have laid him. So Jesus Christ had already been resurrected about sunset on the Sabbath before. And yet there are people today who go out and do as the pagans do, and they turn their eyes, their faces toward the east, and they worship the rising sun, claiming that they're worshiping the resurrected Christ, which the prophet Ezekiel thoroughly condemns in Ezekiel chapter 16. You can read it for yourself. It is blasphemous to even suggest that Christ would change the immutable spiritual law of the Sabbath in observance of his resurrection. Some argue that Christ kept the seventh day because he lived under the terms of the old covenant. But as we have clearly seen from the Holy Scriptures, the law of God is perfect. And Christ clearly states in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Even Jesus Christ did not have the authority to change the immutable spiritual law of God. See, Jesus Christ exists in eternity. You read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see here the beginning was the Word, existence. The Word was with God, relationship, and the Word was God, identity, that's who he was, And then John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ is the living Word. He spoke what he spoke, as it was given to him by the Father, and Jesus Christ would not change the words of the Father. The apostles kept the Sabbath and never gave any indication that the Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week. Here are some quotes from the Word of God from the book of Acts. In Acts 13, verse 42, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Acts 13, 44, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." And in Acts 17, verse 2, "And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Then Acts 18:4, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." But some will ask about 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." Paul was collecting an offering from all the churches in Galatia to take to the saints in Jerusalem, who were suffering from a drought and famine. So Paul, when he came to them, he would speak to them on the Sabbath day. And he didn't want them to be bringing their offering there on the Sabbath day. He said, "Go ahead and bring this offering on the first day of the week, so that when I come, I don't have to take it up. It'll be there." Paul asked them to do this physical work on the first day of the week. And as we have seen from the above scriptures, Paul's custom was to preach on the Sabbath day. That is to say that that's not to say that he never preached on other days of the week, since he visited several churches and spoke often. The Apostle Paul would have never presumed to change the law of God. Paul was raised a Pharisee and deeply respected the immutable spiritual law of God. Note what he writes in 1 Corinthians 7:19. "Circumcision is nothing, neither is uncircumcision, but keeping of the commandments of God." These are the words of the Apostle Paul. But some will ask about other scriptures, like Acts 20 and verse 7, where they came together on the first day of the week to break bread, and Paul preached through the night, and the fellow fell down out of the loft and was dead, and Paul revived him. See, in biblical times, to break bread meant to share a meal, not to observe the Passover. That was only observed once a year. Furthermore, in biblical times, the days began at sunset, not at midnight, so Paul preached to them on the night of the first day of the week, and the next morning he departed to Assos, which was 20 miles away. So he walked 20 miles the next day and did not rest on that day. If he had been observing the first day of the week as the Sabbath, he would have been breaking the Sabbath. But some will say, "Well, what about Revelation 1:10? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Does this mean that John was in church on Sunday or the first day of the week? John was in the Spirit and was given visions of what was going to happen during the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is that period of time when God directly intervenes in the events of that period of time. The Greek words, he kuriake himera, is usually translated as the day of the Lord, not the Lord's day. The words are properly translated in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord," not the Lord's day, "the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." The same words, he kuriake himera. So does it matter whether you obey God or the traditions of men? As we have seen in this program, the matter is one of life or death. God tells us to to choose life. So does it matter? Yes, it matters. It is a matter of life and death. For the free literature offered on the program, call our toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. Be sure to be listening to this station next week.